Welcome to day 83 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. Today we're still in the Second Commandment talking about true and false worship, but chapter 20 of the Westminster Confession of Faith is of Christian liberty and liberty of conscience. And the idea here is that we're free from false worship. And any priest or rabbi or minister who says we're obligated to engage in some kind of worship which is not required by the scriptures, well, we'll know better. After we study chapter 20 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. Section 1. The liberty which Christ has purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their freedom from the guilt of sin and condemning wrath of God, the curse of the moral law, and in their being delivered from this present evil world, bondage to Satan and dominion of sin, from the evil of afflictions, the sting of death, the victory of the grave, and everlasting damnation. As also in their free access to God and their yielding obedience unto Him, not out of slavish fear, but a childlike love and willing mind, all which were common also to believers under the law. But under the New Testament, the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in their freedom from the yoke of the ceremonial law to which the Jewish church was subjected, and in greater boldness of access to the throne of grace, and in fuller communications of the free Spirit of God than believers under the law did ordinarily partake of. Okay, the first phrase, the liberty which Christ has purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their freedom from the guilt of sin and condemning wrath of God and the curse of the moral law. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. The liberty which Christ has purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their believing in their being delivered from this present evil world, bondage to Satan and dominion of sin. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The liberty which Christ hath purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their freedom from the evil of afflictions, the sting of death, the victory of the grave, and everlasting damnation. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. 1 Corinthians 15:54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As also in their free access to God, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And their yielding obedience to him, not out of slavish fear, but a childlike love and willing mind. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. all of which were common also to believers under the law, Galatians 3:9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But under the New Testament, the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in their freedom from the yoke of the ceremonial law to which the Jewish church was subjected. Galatians 4, starting at verse 1, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth not from a servant or a slave, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant or slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Acts 15:10, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." Under the New Testament, the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in greater boldness of access to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And in fuller communications of the free Spirit of God than believers under the law did ordinarily partake of. John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." 2 Corinthians 3:13, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now the concept of liberty of conscience in section 2 of chapter 20 in the Westminster Confession of Faith. "God alone is Lord of the conscience, and has left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men, which are in anything contrary to his word, or beside it, if matters of faith or worship. So that to believe such doctrines, or to obey such commands out of conscience, is to betray true liberty of conscience, and the requiring of an implicit faith and an absolute and blind obedience is to destroy liberty of conscience and reason also." So the first proposition here, that God alone is the Lord of the conscience, James 4:12, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Romans 14:4, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." God alone is Lord of the conscience, and has left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men, which are in anything contrary to his word, or beside it, if matters of faith or worship. Acts 4:19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Acts 5:29, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." 1 Corinthians 7:23, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants or slaves of men. Matthew 23:8, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So that to believe such doctrines or to obey such commands out of conscience is to betray true liberty of conscience. Colossians 2:20, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men? Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not any honor or value to the satisfying or the indulgence of the flesh. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The requiring of an implicit faith and an absolute and blind obedience is to destroy liberty of conscience and reason also. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. John 4:22, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Hosea 5:11, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Revelation 13:12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth, or land, and them which dwell therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Jeremiah 8:9, the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Well, that'll do it for day 83. We'll continue looking at Christian liberty and liberty of conscience tomorrow on day 84.